night, everybody. Welcome to our Healing Voices YouTube channel and podcast. My name's Aaron Lehman, and I am really excited about this YouTube channel and podcast because I feel so excited about the way in which people are just engaging with life and getting in touch with the power inside of them and the power around them and the power of connection. And I just get really excited about healing. And I've been super blessed to meet a lot of people on this healing journey. And sometimes it can feel lonely, so wherever you're watching this from, maybe you're at a place where you're like, been feeling lonely, feel like you're the only one reading the books or listening to the podcasts or, you know, preparing your food, and you yearn for more community. My prayer is that this will be another space, a space where you can come and drop in and learn from people on the healing journey, to know that it's not just you. You're a part of something bigger, and there's a lot of us out there in this world dropped in and doing the daily work, doing our best to move through all that life that comes up in our worlds. So thanks for joining us. Wherever you're at, whether you catch this on YouTube or on the podcast. And without further ado, I am incredibly excited to welcome Simon Jungenet. Oh my goodness, this is great. I practiced it 6 times. But during the live feed, I'm going to get a little anxious and mess it up. Help me out, Simon.
I love it. But don't you remember what I said to you? Remember
young otter.
The otter? Yeah, I'm a young otter. That is my last name, my real last name.
Young and otter. And so Simon Young and Otter. And let me say, Simon and I met 6 years ago. Sarah and I were going through Bali as a part of our honeymoon experience, and we happened upon the Bali Silent Retreat. And Simon, one, just entered, like, I just love being around the dude. I love listening to him talk. I love just like, what one of the things that I do remember from the Bali Silent Retreat experience is, I remember you taking us out and teaching us a little bit about the herbs and, kind of guiding us in the herb garden a little bit, because we were there as volunteers to do different little work projects, and you helped us kind of dive into the herbs and do a little bit of like exploration there and drying the herbs. And I also remember your food preparation, just like that we went there and we were like, I don't think we've ever eaten food this good in our lives. Mm-hmm. And you were like one of the main magicians, the main creators of the food experience while we were there. And, that was just like, when I'm 90, 92, I plan to fly you to wherever I am. You know, if I'm nearing the end, I'm going to have you prep food for me for the last, the last 5 years. Just love because it. I'm just so impressed with the food you prepared while we were there, and I know that's a big part of your life still today. All right, all that to say, I'm grateful you're here. I'm excited people are going to get to learn to know you more, and if you don't mind just starting with, you're in Bali right now. Tell us about that. How have you come to Bali? Your journey. I know you were born in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
As you kind of look back at, your life up to this point, have there been a couple moments that have kind of, shifted things for you, whether that's like spiritually or the direction of your life? A couple moments from your life up to this point. And fill people in just a little bit about who you are.
Great entry point. What's magical about Bali? I was really one of my most profound teachings of this island is that their time isn't linear. To the Balinese, there is no beginning and end. Literally, their whole life revolves around cycles, you know, their calendars, the way they view life. And for that reason, there is periods where they're not rushing and there's period, you know. And of course, this is the only thing that makes sense to me, because this is also what happens in nature. There's a time for growth and a time for death and a time for spring and a time for autumn. And I think where I grew up in the Netherlands is probably the most linear country in the world. It's so organized, and every square meter in the Netherlands has been used and optimized. And, you know, and in fact, the Netherlands, you know, has a strong foundation in America as well, like New York, New Amsterdam. I lived in Haarlem in the Netherlands for a long time, which is now Haarlem in New York. So there's definitely a link there. And for me, growing up in the Netherlands was very difficult, because I was born in a way that I feel in Bali now. You might say, and I try not to sound arrogant when I say it, but I was born awakened, in the sense that I was always in awe of the world, going, what's wrong with these guys? And once the spiritual awakening started to become more prominent on the earth, instead of going freaking out about that, I was like, okay, now that makes sense. So when I arrived in Bali 7 years ago, a lot of the things that I encountered here actually made perfect sense to me. The connection, the spirituality, the understanding of energy and how it governs our life. It's still very much alive here. So I'm super grateful. Now, of course, I'm learning every day. I'm not saying I'm enlightened when I say I'm awakened. I'm kind of more like tuned into something that I feel is becoming more prominent, but very much still learning my lessons. And Bali has been an incredible teacher for me. So when I met you and Sarah, that was in my first year in Bali. It was so wonderful meeting the both of you, and you were so open and just out there to help, and traveling the world was really fantastic. And for me, I kind of just ended a cycle of doing the traveling and the exploring, and I found a place to ground, which was a silent retreat center called Bali Silent Retreat that I initially joined as the chef to take care of the food. But that really flowed into me being able to embrace all my big passions in one place, which are growing, cooking, and healing. So when I speak of growing, it's a metaphor for spiritual growth. And I'm very interested always in developing the self and others, but also gardening and growing food. And for a long time, I've been very interested in that and been practicing that. And in Bali, it's taken a whole new turn to growing food in harmony with nature, and actually growing ecosystems that may well include humans and also provide food. And then cooking, of course, food preparation. I am a qualified chef, and I've worked as a regular chef in restaurants. I partly own two restaurants here in Bali at the moment, which were all born out of those initial adventures at the Bali Silent Retreat. So it's really taken off. And the healing part, I guess, is something that is not one modality, even though I do practice energy healing and I've studied that, and that's been a big part of my life. But what I see healing now is something that is inevitable. It's happening on the planet. And we are, you and I, you by doing this podcast and in many other ways, and we are healing facilitators. And in fact, what I feel really strongly is that we are midwives. We are midwives. We are absolute cosmic midwives. Right now, we are helping to birth a new level of consciousness, a new consciousness on this earth. I am covered in goosebumps even if I speak of this, because it's happening today. And it's more important to remember that today than ever. Because when we are looking at the outer world, it is looking chaotic. And I made a metaphor on that this morning. What do you want from a midwife? Imagine there's an amazing, courageous woman birthing, and the midwife is there, and instead of being strong and focused, she's like, oh my God, woman, you're covered in blood. I gotta wipe you up. Oh my God, you're making noise. Don't make so many noises. You know, the woman giving birth would be very confused. Yeah. What she wants from a midwife is to hear, rebirthing, and I know it's looking messy, and I know this is going to hurt, but please don't focus on that. Relax and allow it to happen. Mm-hmm. And that is the voice of the true awakened healer, light worker, or whatever fancy term you want to give it in the world today. We got to be the ones that stay focused on this new earth that is being born, that truth we know when we relax and drop into our heart. And I think we got to be the courageous midwives, like you mentioned before, to all of those people that are not so grounded in that knowing yet. Mm-hmm. That's where we are, those pillars. And that's truly, truly, truly where our power is today. And that's why that's the healing part of those two: growing, cooking, healing. And that healing can take on so many forms.
Mm. Mm. Beautiful. 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 Yeah, I love that. I love that midwife vision. And just how like that, yeah, I mean, it's happening, being a part of that. Like you, as you were describing, I felt like relaxed, like my shoulders kind of dropped, where it was nice. Like relaxing into versus you know, it's just a
And let me elaborate a little bit more on why I'm using the birthing and the midwife and all of these feminine terms. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to understand that this is a feminine energy rising situation happening at the moment. And that's why all of the action, too much action and too much resistance and too much this and too much that can actually be harmful in the process. But before I go too far into that, it might be worth exploring, you know, energy. And to understand, when I say feminine or masculine, I'm not speaking about gender. Okay. But in our world, there is always a polarity. And there is summer because there is winter. There is hot because there is cold. There is red because we can also see blue. It's duality. It's contrasting. And our bodies are governed by some greater energy field that we are, and science is really starting to understand this. This is a beautiful work coming out of your part of the world supporting all of this. And within this greater field of energy, there is a yin polarity, as the Chinese would call it, and a yang, the yin being the feminine, the yang being the masculine, the yin being the winter, the yang being the summer, the yin being the receptive, and the yang being the penetrative. That we also see this in sexuality. Yeah, the yin being magnetic and the yang being electric. And together they form electromagnetic energy. And so what we've seen in the world in the last linear time speaking couple thousand years is that the masculine has overshadowed. And a lot of the time we blame man for that, but that's not perfectly correct. It's the masculine energy has overshadowed the feminine energy through which the egoic consciousness was able to proliferate. Yeah, and because the masculine is all about doing an action and protection, when those virtues get manipulated and they blow out of proportion, they turn into aggression and colonization of the wrong kind. And so that's what we've seen in the world today. We've seen rape of women, we've seen rape of the earth, and those are all feminine qualities. Rape basically means penetration without consent. So when I go somewhere and I say, okay, I'm just going to grab this this food, but I don't get permission from the person who provided the food, that is a form of rape. This will do that. And sometimes we are, and the reason I'm saying this is to bring consciousness to that, because we're not always aware that we're doing that. And it's, don't beat yourself up for it, but just be aware, like, hey, I'm overly yang right now. I'm overstepping people's boundaries. I'm being overly aggressive. And even us on the healing path can be guilty of that, where we just come in and we just want to fix. And often women are frustrated with their husband because, hey, he doesn't listen. And then the husband gets frustrated because he doesn't let me in. And the reason he doesn't let me in is because her magnetic force is closed because of trauma. And so basically what we're dealing with is a cycle of trauma and pain that is now clearing, that will allow the two polarities to rebalance. And in order to do that, the feminine is driving the bus. The feminine is driving the bus. Bali is a woman, if you ask me. This island is super feminine, and so is Hawaii, probably. And these places, and feminine has nothing to do with weakness, right? We've got to realize that this is our greatest strength. If you ever doubt that, look at an earthquake or Mother Nature in full swing and ask me if she's weak. Mm-hmm. So the feminine is driving this bus, and it's our job as humans, as mankind, that's why we call it mankind, not womankind, to recognize our collective imbalance of always doing and not enough being, and rebalance that. And we have many modalities to do that, such as meditation, relaxation, and trauma healing, and working on ourselves. All of those things help to rise our feminine qualities, to rebalance, and with that, the masculine finds healing too. Because this works in a cycle. At the moment the baby is born, it goes to the mother's breast for its first nourishment. And so there's this ongoing cycle between life forms that's really important to honor and restore. And Bali is playing a pivotal role in this process of feminine awakening. That's why there's a lot of women, I guess, attracted to this island. And empathy and this feminine style of leadership is the future, and that's why you've seen in Brené Brown doing so incredibly well with her work, mm-hmm. Bravely bringing vulnerability and empathy into corporate world. So it's happening across the board, and that is a very beautiful and powerful thing. And personally, I'm bringing a lot of feminine, I guess, or yin leadership into my projects and businesses and school. And it allows me to stay very grounded and relaxed and still manage to actually give birth to a lot of projects and be very efficient, dare I say that word.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's beautiful. I appreciate that breath for people who are listening, like to, as far as energy goes and the duality. Yeah, I think for just even you just expressing it and sharing about it, it brings up for me just my own journey as this, like, you know, I was nurtured in a way by two counselors, where my parents were inviting me into emotional sharing and, you know, like, oh, talk through that trigger. What was that trigger about? And, you know, and, wow. And it was beautiful, but I also then, you know, have had challenge, like loving and appreciating men in this world, which I think is why, like, anytime I meet a man like yourself or, you know, like, I'm like, oh, this is exciting. Like somebody that's is really comfortable with warm hugs, loving hugs, you know, and is comfortable processing through emotions and sadness and grief, or, you know, other than just anger, you know, like that we were, as men, oftentimes we were allowed to express anger. That was like the one permitted anger and aggression or something, you know? And so anyway, just as I'm hearing you talk, I think that journey for me of masculine, feminine, and sorting through how do I, I've been reading books on it, trying to figure out embrace the both and. Do you have any like thoughts on, is that while also like calling out the feminine?
This is perfect, Aaron. This is perfect you're saying this, because it brings me to a very important next point in this whole story. What I've just outlined is the importance of the feminine and the beauty and the trauma. And there's a tendency for us, logically, to bypass a lot of our painful emotions to get to a comfortable place. So what has been happening in the last few decades is there has been that awakening. And we have embraced the feminine, but in that, a lot of the time, the masculine has been disregarded as bad. And that is the wrong picture. It's strange to say masculine is beautiful, feminine is beautiful. They're both are just two super important polarities that need to be balanced. And oftentimes when we see that in recent years, we've missed out on strong masculine presence in our life. And your parents sounds beautiful, but it also sounds that maybe you have missed out on this. Because if you, I have certainly missed out on masculine guidance in my life. And I've been doing a lot of catching up, joining men's groups. And like you said, finding men who are, on one hand, comfortable with hugs. But I also want to meet men who are comfortable with anger. Because anger is not a bad thing. Misguided anger is a bad thing. It turns into aggression. But anger can be a very important stepping stone on the path to go from disempowerment to empowerment, to say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And so anger is a very important stage. And that's what we often see in the New Age realm. There's these misconceptions that we need to instantly forgive. And then we say, oh, just love and light and forgiveness. But in nature, it doesn't work that way. There's a period of healing, and anger might be a part of that. And there's a wisdom and a lesson to be learned. Like, wow, why did this person treat me so bad? If I instantly forgive this person, might seem like the nice New Age thing to do, but it's not always the right thing. Now, of course, in the end, forgiveness is inevitable. It needs to happen. But we often find that when someone is in touch with themselves, that will happen naturally. So it's very important to honor masculinity, because masculinity is a force that is also protecting us. It's what we need on the planet today, because the farmer oftentimes chooses to have a farm with only hens inside, only milking cows, yeah? Mm-hmm. But we are not a farm. We are a beautiful human world where we need men and women living in freedom and sovereignty. And in order to do that, we need those two polarities balanced. Because if we don't, we will be controlled. And then that's, so it's a very important part of our evolution to embrace the masculine and as man to come together and to start with this feminine sharing and being vulnerable in order to move eventually to a place where our masculine qualities get healed. We start forgiving ourselves for our aggression and our disconnect and all of the mistakes we made. And every time we overstep the feminine, collectively as mankind, we start to realize, oh my God, we've really done the world wrong. But the world doesn't want us, the earth doesn't want us to constantly be guilty. The earth just wants us to step up and heal. Mm. And it's similarly when I speak to indigenous people. I have African-American friends that have dealt a lot with this masculine overshadowing of society, where they as a whole race group are being and still are being suppressed. Part of our healing is where we start listening to those who have been suppressed by this imbalanced system. There's no guilt or shame in that. Just to listen. And often what I hear from those, whether it's women, people of different sexuality, orientation, people of different races, whatever, indigenous, what they want for us to listen, to learn, and to move on. They don't want us to sit there in our house beating ourselves up for being bad. Oftentimes, what I feel is they just want us to listen. And guess what? Listening is a beautiful feminine quality. And then based on the listening, we could start listening. That masculine quality becomes a servant to this new understanding and goes out and starts making decisions that then benefit the whole. And then together we can come as one, as a successful, harmonious human race on this planet, which is eventually what we're heading towards if the human race is going to survive and thrive and proliferate on this planet, which is the goal of the awakening, the evolution. Every time something evolves in nature as well, the goal is to find new balance. You know, when the ocean level dropped, the fish knew, well, we better grow some legs and go onto the land. So evolution is always taking place in order to rebalance. And sometimes in order to get there, the old had to crumble. And so we see a lot of dissolution of forms in the old world as the new one is being born. And we just have to stay focused on that and do our, and what purpose means in this is when you are fully on purpose is when you are fully aligned with that what you came here for. And you know it when you feel balanced, excited, centered and grounded some of the time or most of the time, you know you're on the right track. When you feel guilty, shame, constantly feel angry, you know you still got work to do of fully stepping into your purpose, fully stepping into your power.
Amen. Woo. Okay. Amen. Yeah, dude. So good. So good. So as I hear you like going through, what A couple of things pop up. One is, you know, as you're sharing about purpose, so somebody's listening into this, and they're on the journey of like, I mean, who knows? They may be 38 and like they've been in a job for 16 years, and they're like, what am I going to do this another 16 years? You know, like, or they're fresh out of high school or college or whatever, and they're like, I don't know what to do with my, you know, like how to, so I hear you like, could you offer some, I hear you saying like, when you feel grounded, when you feel centered, list, like pay attention to that. Any suggestions for those folks who are like, how do I show up? I mean, I'm like, maybe they feel this calling, a different calling than where they're at right now. Yeah. How do they discern and figure out like the path? You know, you came to growing and cooking and healing, you know, it's like, and those are just magical, you know, like how does another person find their gifts or their talents and show up? I don't know. Yep. Any thoughts for people?
Oh, absolutely. First step is to realize that there's inner purpose and outer purpose. And same as the feminine is the foundation and then the masculine follows, the inner purpose dictates the outer purpose, not the other way around. So if you're out there looking in the world for purpose, you're already out of alignment. It starts literally, it sounds cliche, it starts within. And oftentimes people haven't had a chance to connect to themselves because their upbringing is all about being distracted to the outer world. Listen to your parents, listen to the schooling system, listen to society, listen to your employer. And so the moment people start turning within, they often bump into trauma around that. They bump into the work, and that's where it starts. And then the mind might come in and say, well, I can't afford to sit here working on myself. I've got bills to pay. And to recognize that that is all part of the conditioning, and that there's only really one way, one stream of consciousness, one purpose, and it's safe and perfectly okay, in fact, it's vital right now to start going within and start exploring and start connecting to the self and take it from there. And so growing, cooking, and healing, there were things that were just a result of my inner work. And I'm pretty lazy in a sense that I don't like listening to my mind and all of my worries. I just like to feel good. So we have this brilliant GPS guidance inside of us that's always saying, go this way, go this way, go this way, because it feels good. And we've literally been trained out of our alignment by society. And this happened the moment we were born. You're born naked, free, boom, into the world. Hello, here I am. And before you know it, the parents go put some clothes. Go kiss your auntie. And the child said, but I don't want to kiss my auntie. No, kiss your auntie, because I, all around me, I will feel guilty if you don't kiss auntie. In other words, we then start to go, okay, I don't feel like doing this, but there is someone who provides food and shelter for me, aka my parents, and in order to please them, I got to do something I don't like. And otherwise, I might suffer. They might stop feeding me. So we oftentimes, out of survival mode, sacrifice our alignment with source in order to please the parents. Sad reality, but true. This is societal conditioning. Some parents, and perhaps yours sound pretty dreamy, are better than others, but I'm sure we're all parents. And, you know, maybe for a while you got to be angry with your parents, but eventually I would suggest you not blame anyone or anything for your conditioning. This today is where you're at. You're not a victim. You are empowered the moment you start recognizing that there is a path back to your alignment. And yeah, it is a path, it is a training that you will go through. And many times your mind and its conditioning will distract you, saying, I'm not worthy of loving and this and that. So it's a constant dedication moment to moment to alignment. It is not something that one day you'll wake up and say, I'm there, because that's life. It's ever unfolding in the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was dealing with something last night, you know, and once you have the tools, mm-hmm. it becomes easier. And someone once compared it to, it's not so much like a chess game that becomes more complicated. It's more like Tetris, you know? The block thing is the same, it just speeds up. So life just becomes, yeah, something comes to me like a little anxiety in my stomach, boom, boom, I know how to step my way out of it or work through it and get to a better place. Mm. And that is really the only journey worth undertaking now. And what's so brilliant about the situation in the world today is that all of the structures that we thought provided safety, the employment contracts and the pension schemes, guess what? They're crumbling and we're only just getting started. And if you feel fear about that, then go directly to that fear and feel it and embrace it like a good parent and speak to yourself like this little child inside of you and say, you know what? We got this together. And we are guided by source, by God, by the universe, whatever feels good to you. And we're going to go moment by moment. And no matter what is happening in the outside world, there is this beautiful Garden of Eden right inside of you where I'm always at home. And that, again, is to come back inwards. And there's nothing wrong with doing that half the day because we're half inward, half outward. That's a beautiful balance. Mm-hmm. Not just 5 minutes in the morning and then spend the whole day pleasing everyone. But just how about we spend half our day inward, half our day outward? Maybe this is the new balance that we're going to strike in this world today. And that's why people are saying, oh, we're all locked down by our governments and quarantines. We're stuck inside our house and it's for the wrong reasons. And there's an evil plan behind this. Even if that's true, I'm not even arguing that. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Mm-hmm. It is also a brilliant opportunity to go within. So within the seemingly negative, there's always a positive. And so right now is a great time to switch off the phone and not constantly distract ourselves with Netflix and all kinds of things inside the house, but to also lovingly, gently start adding in time slots of just being and to allow yourself to observe the mind that's going, I should be working, I should be distracting myself. And your biggest ally in this is the breath. So just the breath is like this healing spirit that we all have. Literally, breath means the spirit dwelling within. In Sanskrit, Atman. In the Dutch, the word is Adam. Breath is spirit dwelling within. It's so much more than just an oxygen supply. In fact, your nostrils are masculine and feminine. There's this perfect balance of prana through your nostrils that enters your body and nourishes every cell. With your intention, you can use the breath to literally bring healing. And just start being aware of what's going on inside of the body. I have a little nervousness in my stomach. Okay, I'm going to bring my breath there. Instead of pushing it away and distracting myself, I have a little tension in my shoulders. Bring the breath there. And all of this is, I'm still answering your question on how to find purpose. It's that, because the more we become in touch with the entirety of who we are, the powerful being, the expression of the divine that we are, purpose unfolds. Because purpose is not some fancy sort of like status update, like I'm a fireman, it's my purpose, or I'm this or I'm that. Purpose is something that we are, that is the reason why we are here. And it's constantly born through us and it can constantly change. So today I'm a chef, tomorrow I'm a healer, who cares? They're just expressions of the divine as it's birthed into the world through us. Isn't that just an honor to give birth to purpose in every moment? And so want to find your purpose? Take a breath and you are there. Even if your purpose in this moment means to do absolutely nothing, some of the most powerful healers might work at a checkout counter in the supermarket because that was the perfect outlet for them to meet 1,000 people a day. Can you imagine? Some of them might healers, some of them might be stationed there. They might not even be aware of it. It's the mind that makes it into something fancy. That's got to be a guru in an ashram dressed in white, you know, chanting sacred mantras. How about if it's the delivery guy that visits you and you just somehow feel better after he just came? So you'll find purpose and meaning in the most obscure places.
Yes, I'm getting chills like as you're sharing that, because it's that's just a different sort of, that's a different look at it. That's so refreshing and beautiful. I mean, it's, I think I was getting chills as you're sharing about the checkout at the grocery, or the, you know, like the delivery person, like, wow,
because can you see the mind, the egoic mind, when it's left on its own, it's always looking for grandeur. It's looking for something, the next great thing. It likes to talk things up, and its spirit knows that. It's probably pulling a joke, and it says it's putting those most sacred things in the most sort of obscure places. And when you are caught up in the mind looking for the next big thing, the big entrepreneur, you know, you miss out. And that's what I find when I'm fasting, when I'm not eating, and I'm because I'm doing this too, and when I'm slowing down and I'm just walking around and I'm meeting eyes with a rice farmer, and this man has no education and he has never seen any part of the world, and you look him in the eyes, and you'll know, you'll feel something like, wow. And maybe this guy was the president of America in a past life, and he just decided to come into this life going, I'm going to be a rice farmer, you know? I'm going to experience what this is like. You know, in these cycles of life, I mean, what doesn't really matter. These are all just expressions. Mm. And I think the more we realize that life is eternal, mm-hmm. life is an eternal stream of consciousness, and birth and death are the dance, they are the play, like in a forest. Like a beautiful forest today is completely different from a beautiful forest 5,000 years ago. All of those life forms that were then have transformed into what they are today through the process of death and decay and then birth and renewal. And similarly, that body that I'm sitting in today, 7 years ago, every cell in this body wasn't here. It's been replaced in 7 years' time, did you know? Mm. So is this body still real? But the consciousness that's expressing itself through this body is the same as always, and it's eternal, which means it's infinite, which means it has no beginning and no end. It's cyclical, and that's why the cycles are so important. And cycles is really something beautiful, because you can recognize cycles in your own life, and to recognize cycles in your own life also then means to become okay with endings, because you realize they're just new beginnings, mm-hmm. and there's a time for outwardness. Like right now, no one is really building a new business, right? This is a perfect time to go inward. Mm. Is there something wrong with winter? Is there something wrong with hibernating? Only from the view of the imbalanced yang that always wants to create. But what about, this is the most powerful time for us to just sit in our homes and spend time with loved ones when we can, just to accept, Reverend said, don't protest anything right now. But just start tuning into what wants to happen. That is right now where your power is at. This is yin time and a half. It's a really potent time.
Wow. Mm. Man, I mean, you're speaking to me, because so as you're sharing, I'm like, I flashed back to an event I went to, and woman is speaking to a couple hundred. She's like a doctor, healer woman, written some books. I cannot remember her name right now. But she said, now, those of you who wake up in the morning and, you know, the tendency is just to jump right into work. Like, and she literally, out of the crowd, like as she's sharing this, she saw something in my energy field, like launch up, like, or like just made noise. And she's like, you, it's okay to like wake up slowly and just and remember your dreams and just lay in bed there. You don't have to sprint up out of bed. And I was like, I mean, however I communicated it, you know, non-verbally or energetically, she picked it up as, you know. And I think that the yang part of me, that's the creative, like I've got, you know, it's some of my like church upbringing, which is go serve the world, serve the world, serve the world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, where do I breathe? Do I get to breathe somewhere in here?
Yeah.
Which I, you know, so anyway, I think as you're sharing, I'm like, whoo, it's, yeah, that's healing for me. Just hearing your voice kind of talk through like going inward. And, you know, I imagine I'm not the only one that's like, that hears your words and is like, okay, there's the breath. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me a little bit. Yeah, man. Cause were there any, you know, obviously there's a lot of experiences you've had in your life up till now, but were there any like key moments? Obviously you're coming to Bali was big, big transformation for you, but were there any individuals or people or books or, you know, like, or like a retreat you went to that just was a extra special awakening or like added to that, like that awareness that you speak with?
Yeah, sure. There's definitely been those defining moments in life. I can think of a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. The first one was probably when I was 18, mildly depressed and confused. And I was offered the opportunity to leave Holland and spend a few months in America. Mm-hmm. And it was for me, it was running away. I was like, anything to get out of this place. And I ended up in South Carolina on a university campus. And I contributed in a theme park as an internship for kind of a sort of business study I was doing back in Holland. And it was such a fantastic time. And in that moment, I met who is still, I spoke to him last night. So, you know, 20 some years ago, I met like one of my best friends. I would say he's my best friend, Gus. And we shook hands one night in our university dorm. We said, we're going to keep traveling for the rest of our lives. And so that when I returned to Holland from there, I didn't stop traveling and moving around. And I haven't really lived in Holland except an odd year here and there. Since I've lived in all these different countries, and what it allowed me to do is to experience all of these different cultures and all of these different ways. And there's wisdom and beauty. And I lived in the Caribbean 2 years, right? You learn to slow down and do everything mañana, everything tomorrow. You know, America showed me to think big. I lived in Australia for 7 years. And Australians are really good at you know, less now so, but they're relaxed and they don't take life too serious at times, and they have a certain way of like they can handle anything. Australia has to a point a beautiful masculinity there that I needed at the time. And then plenty of distortions there as well around masculinity, but the essence of what I needed was there. So I just followed my flow, and for me it meant traveling and learning. In Australia, I did my energy healing training, spent 2 years there learning with some pretty advanced practitioners. And there's a really big energy healing world alive in Australia that I credit a lot of my understanding from. Australia has an amazing color me culture. It's not known for it, but the food in Australia is very high level because they have this beautiful mix of people from all over the world that settled there and took their cuisines from Greece and Italy and Vietnam, etc., to the next level, because they didn't have that cultural boundary like this is how you're supposed to do something. It's beautiful about countries like America and Australia. There's this openness in Europe that can be, where I'm from, there can be a certain rigidity. And so traveling has been one. I would say when I was living in England around the age of 25, that was a huge shift. There was a heart opening that happened there, where really that inner work really started. And I stumbled upon Reiki. And at the time I had a girlfriend, a long-term relationship, and her mother, Halina, is an incredible practitioner and energy worker who recognized my gifts. And she sat me down and we did some energy work together. And she said, I just had a message. You know, you are already connected. You have nothing really to gain. You just need to follow your path, which was really encouraging. And she's also the woman that handed me the book, The Power of Now, which is now very well known. I read that already like many years ago. And it's such an incredible book. I'm very grateful. So Eckhart Tolle has been such a great teacher reading his books, because he's not trying to teach anything other than to come to the self. And that's really what I really needed. And then Bali as an island, as a culture, as a people, Indonesia in general, the way they go about things here, so much wisdom in this land, oftentimes not recognized even by the people themselves. And so my journey in Indonesia has been about reminding the locals, you know, like, you have so much beauty here. Don't give it all away. Don't sell it all off for these Western ideals. There's actually great teachings here. And so I established a school here, the New Earth School, right next to Bali Silent Retreat, New Earth Cooking School, newearthcooking.com. You can check it out. Mm-hmm. And it's a school that's not aiming to teach anything or add anything on top of people, but it's a school that welcomes people first and foremost into their heart by spending time in nature and allows people to really develop themselves, and will just guide them on the way, the recipes and the techniques they kind of follow. So it's a growing cooking and healing is what we're practicing there in a very joyful manner. And so I would say from all of my learnings and teachings, and they're still occurring today, we've also built a place where we can share it with the world. And so that's really wonderful.
So good. That's Sarah and I have said that when we come back to Bali, we want to come to your school for sure.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's like, every time we're like, where do we want to travel more? Where do we want to travel? It's like, well, we know we need to go to Simon's cooking school and spend time there. Cause honestly, Bali for Sarah, I mean, you said earlier that lots of women are drawn the powerful feminine energy, all the countries we've gone to, I mean, Bali's definitely up in the top, right up at the top with, right up at the top with Paris. I don't know. Right up there with Paris and Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. So the traveling has been powerful. Reiki, when you said that, game changer in my world too, just like diving into some Reiki training. And it's funny, and you sharing that, the last 2 days I've been out on a little jog, and I've seen two guys off their bike, like doing like Qigong, like energy work, like meditating over the ocean. And I'm like, okay. And then today I'm jogging again, and there's another dude doing like Qigong sort of energy work and just doing some breathing. And I'm like, thank you, universe. Like this is exciting for me as I'm seeing this happen, because, and I don't know if I'm just paying attention more, or everybody's kind of, or it's happening more, right? maybe that's not a usual scene here in Southern California. It's more usual here than a lot of places in our country, but
yeah,
it was so cool to see. And I'm like, and then you sharing Reiki, that's beautiful. What, like, as far as that energy healing, for somebody who's, and you've kind of been sharing throughout, but like for somebody who is kind of thinking, all right, what modalities, or, if they're looking at different, do I want to go into yoga or check out yoga for, my evolution, or what, the different, there's a lot of different acupuncture and, the power of healing touch and, I'm curious, like.
Hey, yeah, we can do like a run through of modalities.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah, what
a little outlining. Yeah, that's a good point, because energy work, I guess, is pretty broad spectrum. Yeah, it can take on many forms. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think that, a lot of people are like, well, where do I start? I don't know where to start, if I'm thinking of. I think a lot of people can feel overwhelmed. When they hear like, wait, you did what years of training in that, and then you did this, and it's like,
let's slow down and break it down.
Like the baby step, no rush journey, start where you're at. What have been, so you, as you were sharing some of the modalities in your life that have been huge, Reiki being one, being a big part of your awakening.
Yeah, I think, so what's good to share is that we are energy, right? Yeah. And so anyone listening now that might be overwhelmed by the term energy work is to recognize it is healing. Like even a modern doctor doesn't heal you, and an energy healer doesn't heal you. But a modern doctor can provide medicine or band-aids or surgery, and that supports, ideally, the healing, the natural healing mechanism. And so does an energy worker, but the energy worker works directly on an energetic level. It goes for the blueprint of the wound. And when you go, you fall under a bus and you break a leg, you're really thankful for a surgeon. Energy work in that moment is not going to help. However, you could really trace back why you ended up under that bus, and there's often very sort of esoteric, energetic, attractive reasons for that. And so that very accident might send you on a spiritual journey, and energy healing might actually happen. And plus, when the body's energy field is aligned and vibrant and intact and balanced, so to speak, healing, physical healing, obviously is facilitated because of that. And so that's important to understand. You go for a massage, and someone touches you in a certain way and you feel that invigorating feeling, that is energy. Okay, when you do acupuncture, what the practitioner does, the Chinese have brilliantly mapped out all of the energy channels and the meridians and the pressure points of the body. They have a very deep understanding, and they know they can sort of like activate and manipulate the energy field in a way that then allows for emotional and spiritual release and allows the energy to flow better. And so we are energy in the way that the river is a river. And what the chakras are really is they are dams in the river. Okay? So when you dam a river, the water is going to be the water. It's unstoppable, but at some point at the dam, you can manipulate the water. And so you could say that the crown chakra is the dam that connects you to God. Mm-hmm. And the third eye chakra is the connection to your greater vision, your spiritual vision. And your throat chakra is the connection to expression of your higher truths. Okay? And that's when the heart comes in. The heart sits in the middle. And it connects, very broadly speaking, because there's a lot more to it, but it connects those three points, mm-hmm. what you would say the less human points and the more higher cosmic points, to the lower human self. The solar plexus, which is all about this is me and my free will, and this is what I stand for. And then the sacral, which is all about relationship, intimacy, and sexuality, especially as it goes into the root chakra, which is that point around, you know, the genitals and the tailbone, which connects you to earth, to your tribe, and to your raw sexuality. And the colors are very reflective of that as well. Oftentimes, the root chakra is red. And red is a very survival-driven color. That's why you see fast food restaurants using red, because it immediately sparks this sort of fight or flight, like quickly, eat. Or the red light district in Amsterdam, where people coming for a really sort of quick, disconnected sexual experience, that is red. So again, we can judge red, but it's just red. And if it's in balance with the rest, it's part of the rainbow, right? And then sacral is orange, and the solar plexus is yellow, and the heart is green, and the throat is blue, and then we go into a violet color and gold, white light. So even in the color scheme, and even colors, and then there are sounds, two different chakras. And so when you study the chakras, as we get information from ancient teachings and the Vedics, we can use this in our head as I understand the chakras, but much better, you experience them. So you spend time with yourself feeling into these different points, visualizing these colors. You can even download some YouTube video where you get to experience the sounds that match your chakras. And you might find that you actually start to be aware of the parts of your body that you are in touch with and the parts of your body where you're not in touch. There's some people who are very much always focused on their survival and just taking care of their family. A lot of their energy is going to sit in their root chakra. Well, those who are always in the spiritual realms and in the morning they wake up and they can't wait to just meditate and go off, a lot of their energy is in the higher realms. And again, there's no wrong or right, but ideally what we want to do, because we are in this manifested reality, we want to balance. And we want to question, why am I so spiritual? Why do I find it so hard to be on earth? Or why am I so earthy and find it so hard to connect to my higher self? And that often we bump into trauma, because we are very complex beings. And even science is showing now that our body is capable of storing basically the whole history of the universe in its cells. It's incredible. Like even one cell in the body is bigger, more capable than one of the servers in Silicon Valley in storing information. Like cells are so full of our ancestral knowledge that once we go into the body, we might bump into that irrational fears. And so this is where connection to our ancestors is so important. And many of us have lost connection with our ancestors because of recent history. But if you look at ancient cultures, connecting to your ancestors is vitally important. And to the indigenous cultures like the Balinese, they know where the ancestors are, the direct ancestors. They know their placenta is being buried in certain places on their land, et cetera, et cetera. And you'll see the same in Hawaii. You know, that we've kind of lost. And it's a perfect time now to reconnect to our ancestors in a way that works for you, whether it's more physical by digging into, you know, the past with your grandparents, or by just going into meditation and calling in the ancestors and their wisdom. This is entirely what resonates for you. To come back a little bit to the different modalities without going too much off track, there is the more subtle work, which is more feminine. So Reiki, any forms of sort of subtle energy healing, and there's brilliant practitioners out there. And I don't recommend you go too much out there looking, but oftentimes we set an intention, somehow someone comes our way, and then use your felt sense to go, I feel comfortable around this person. It's very important when you go and see an energy healer to understand that you're giving them permission and power to enter your energy field. So I recommend to feel safe with this person, to always stay in touch with yourself, and to never blindly listen to them, but to work with them. Just recognizing that someone that's holding you and helping you that way. When we hit the subject of masculinity before, a lot of the time men are less appealed by this sort of more subtle work. And I feel one brilliant, and I see him as an absolute healer, has come on my path. His name is Wim Hof. And he's increasingly popular around the world. He's the Iceman. He's, for me, a beautiful form of a strong masculine presence. And his healing work is very scientifically backed up. Works with the elements, works with nature, works with breath, works with cold temperatures, works with extremes. And all of this, he does it in a way not to push through. It's not some athletic, let's see how long you can last in the cold. It's say, can you befriend the cold? And that's such a powerful message. Can you befriend the discomfort? And so he's a brilliant example of a man who his wife committed suicide and left him with I believe it's 4 children. And whilst he was on a tremendous spiritual path, and he's taking care of the kids, and he's grown, and he spent decades silently doing his work, climbing the Mount Everest in his underwear and doing amazing feats that the world didn't really know about. Not only recently, in the last few years, he's, I think, in his 60s already. Mm-hmm. He's now becoming recognized and sharing his work with the world. And it's... So that to me is also a form of energy work, but had much more of a masculine quality, using the breath in a super powerful way of strengthening our energy field, which really means strengthening our immune system. And on the breath, there's another side to breath work, which we might call holotropic breath work, which was developed by a psychologist called Stanislav Grof, but it's now taking on many forms. That is another really powerful way of trauma release, where we're using the breath in certain ways. So those are all areas that you can research. Don't be afraid that you can't do this. That will be my message to anyone. And there is always a modality for you. A lot of people say, I can't meditate. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, if you can't sit still, and if you can't keep your mind quiet, that means you just need a better way to get to meditation. And so yoga teaches us that the path of yoga has many limbs, has many aspects. And asana, which is the bodily part, is only to prepare you and then to go into pranayama, which is more the breathing techniques, and then prepares you for meditation. So to recognize the reason I can't meditate right now is probably because there is too much happening in my body. And instead of going against it and sitting still and pretending I need to be a monk, how about movement? How about go boxing in a boxing bag? Do the breathing. Listen to your body and find a way to release, to let go, to temporarily just express. And notice that a lot of the distortions in our energy field right now today have got to do with suppression. Society has been an artificial bubble for humans because we're not meant to sit still in schools, and we're not meant to do work that we don't enjoy. And you can't fight nature. So to come back to nature, like Wim Hof teaches us and many others, and to allow yourself to express and to allow yourself to be unreasonable, really what we're moving into is shadow work. So instead of bypassing the shadow, and this is often a shadow in religions where we're just pretending to be all good, well, how about we acknowledge the shadow? How about we acknowledge that, I'm a cheater. I can't commit to a woman, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. I'm not saying I am, but I'm just giving examples. Yeah. How about to acknowledge that, I can be very self-righteous. And instead of beating yourself up for it, embracing the shadow and saying, what is the shadow teaching me in order to move forward? And that's really when we become whole person, like a soul infused person, where we are clearing the body of all of this so the soul can fully move in, and we no longer need to pretend to be spiritual or to be this or to be that, and the ego can calm down and just become this whole person. And really, all of the modalities that I'm speaking about, from the chakra healing and the breath work, really they all boil down to the same thing, is to finding ways to reach that point. And I really trust that the right one is out there for you. And why not go and experiment? They put on these festivals, and now I'm sure there's all these online versions of that where you can have a little nibble. But don't fall into the trap. And I live in a town called Ubud. You can do any modality here that you can think of. Don't fall into the trap to go on this sort of spiritual buffet and trying to just satisfy your appetite with more workshops and more this and more that. I would say, once you embark on something, take time to integrate, especially if it's a more potent modality. Like holotropic breath work has similar effects to psychedelic drugs, okay? So just know these are very potent modalities, and we need plenty of time to integrate. Don't let the mind that never gets enough come in the back door and say, okay, you had a great experience with Reiki, you need another session. When people see me, they oftentimes have this great experience and say, I want to see you again next week. I say, come back in 3 months. Yeah, and I want to bring my mom. I said, well, only if your mother really wants to. Like, this is really something it's natural, it's slow. Mm. Yeah. Me personally, I'm not an advocate of plant medicine so much. I know there's power to it, but be really careful with taking substances. And when you do, you know, just ground yourself in it. I'm not saying anything is wrong or right. I'm just saying, if you look at plant medicines, these are part of cultures that have been practicing that through their ancestral lineage for so long. There's a real danger now in the New Age realm that we all put on a festival full of plant medicines and drugs and substances, and we all go overboard, and it just becomes another distraction for the true trauma that's underneath. But if you have a willingness to become an empty vessel and just say, okay, bring it on. Show me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to heal. The path will reveal itself. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Woo. Woo! So good, dude. So good. Oh, my goodness. I love it. Yeah. I just think it's beautiful hearing you share, because it's, I think initially, I'm thinking back to, you know, post college, like when I graduated, and I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? And then I moved to Jerusalem, and then I came back home, and then I started massage school, and then I started teaching high school math. And then after 4 years of teaching math, I was like, I'm teaching math? Well, how am I teaching math? I don't really like math. Like, I don't believe this is a subject I want to teach high schoolers, you know? And it's just this, I think the human journey, it's such a, I think oftentimes it's like you talked about linear right at the beginning, you know, it's like boop to boop to boop, you know, it's like, yeah, just stay in this line and you're going to be good, you know, you know, and it's like that, you know, one of my buddies had said once, he's like, you know what? I like this. Like, it's okay that you're a little, you know, that you're kind of, that you allow that your heart to be, you know, to lead that and stuff. Anyway, so I'm grateful to hear you just talk through these different options, because I think that, I think at the beginning, I think I could still feel overwhelmed by it, right? One thing that I think I heard you say well is, you know, when you go in for a session, like, I think oftentimes, like, we almost go in thinking that that person is then gonna just bring all the downloads for us or whatever, you know? And it's like, I think that I felt like I heard you say, check in with the things, you know, have that dialogue with the practitioner. So it's this, you know, like, I think sometimes people will go, you know, listen, like sit with a medium, you know, for a little while, or sit with a, you know, somebody who's reading tarot cards or something, you know? And I know for me, like, I've had to be like, because I can sometimes, oh, that was exactly what, like, she just told me the truth, And what am I supposed to do? No, I get to process through what resonates with my knowing, you know, what resonates like. And I think sometimes in this world, in some of the new age world, it's like we just put on all the different shirts, or we put on all the different, you know, it's like, oh, that, and it's like, no, check in. Does that shirt feel good? You know, do you like, does that feel right to you? Does that resonate with you? You know, like, and just allow ourselves to sort through that, you know, like, ooh, I, you know, that Reiki treatment. I mean, I'm having a flashback to when Sarah and I first met, and I did not ask her if I could do Reiki during a session with her. And it was like one of her first, like she hadn't hardly had any body work or anything done. And it overwhelmed her to like, one, because I didn't even say, hey, now are you open to me? You know, I'd learned this Reiki, you know, like I didn't explain it. And I was like, she had that first experience was just not good for whatever reason. It just didn't work. Like I hadn't asked if that was okay. And so I think that come humble, you know, if I could do that all over again, I would have been like, whoa, all right. Are you open to this? You know, like, is this something you'd be open? And like, maybe I could offer, you know, a Reiki treatment and see how that feels, you know, but I didn't do that. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is I hear you saying like have those dialogues with the different modalities, like have that inner dialogue, do that check-in, integrate it. I hear you saying like integrate it, don't sprint, you know, from one retreat to the next to like, oh, finish that podcast. All right, next one. It's like, wait. Journal about that podcast, spend some time with that podcast. Why did you choose that podcast? What are you learning from that? You know, like, how do you want to express that in your life? What resonates? What doesn't? Why doesn't that? You know, like, I don't know. Is that what I kind of hear you saying? Like, check in with yourself. Don't just go in and like, you know, just take what everybody's feeding you. Or something, you know.
Yeah, and ultimately, life will show you.
Yeah,
you know, you'll go to all the workshops, and then ultimately something will happen, and you will burn out and get overwhelmed, only to realize that. So, like, really, I love comparing everything to a compost heap, and the compost heap shows me you put a whole bunch of food scraps together. In the end, things will settle, and the whole thing will turn into beautiful new soil, no matter how much you mess with it. And similarly, on this healing journey, I can recognize for myself, and you're just recognized for yourself, the time that perhaps you were overwhelming someone with too much of you wanting to heal someone, or not enough checking in with what they actually really needed. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, you've learned from that. So it's okay. And then we can share our learnings with the world. Mm-hmm. But it all comes down to awareness. And see, when a healing client and a healer meet, there's these subconscious roles they play. I'm the healer and I'm the healing client. And what else are some of these patterns? I'm paying you money, therefore you owe me something. They just paid me money, I have to give them something. And all of these subconscious assumptions give rise to insecurities. Am I enough of a healer? So I'm going to give too much. Am I in touch with myself enough? Or do I need to listen to what this healer is telling me? And so what we find is, again, if we just bring awareness to the situation, only in that moment we'll have access to this infinite wisdom that guides us. And that's why it's so important when you meet a healing client to take time before the session to meet this person and to drop all those expectations and to tap in. Again, this comes to the power of now. Tap into the knowledge of the moment. In the same way that you sent me bunch of questions this morning to prepare for the interview, I did glance over them. Nice that you got in touch, but ultimately we're now momentarily flowing beautifully together. So it's a dance, but it's also nice you send me the questions. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And there's one really powerful technique that I will recommend when you when you feel comfortable enough to do this with a practitioner, and it's eye gazing, and you can do this with anyone at any time, when you take time in silence to meet eyes with someone for an extended period of time, maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or 2 hours, if you please, and just let things be the way they are, and allow your minds to have all of its preconceived ideas. Even notice if you're in staring competition with this person, and then just relax, and then just to see if you come into this beautiful exchange of giving and receiving. That's the eye gazing sort of base vibe, like giving and receiving and allowing yourself to be seen. And what I then do as a healing practitioner to the client, I love eye gazing with them before. I say, look me in the eyes and I'm going to show you who I am, mm-hmm. and what I stand for and what I want to bring to you. And if you feel comfortable, you can receive it. So I don't give them words or promises or credentials. I just give them my eyes. Wow. And that creates an energy of trust. Mm-hmm. Next, I do ask them, I said, okay, now that you sort of like, you know, allow me, I can't guarantee that this is not going to be a powerful session. Sometimes these sessions are disruptive. Yeah. Yeah? And so sometimes, yeah, they are going to bring up your trauma. You might experience energies that you're not even comfortable with. Some people experience sexual energy during an energy healing. Like, let it be. Mm-hmm. But just based on these energies, you know, or anger. And then normally we say, oh, it's anger. We gotta shush it. We gotta suppress it. Oh, it's sexual energy. We gotta suppress it. Or we gotta act on it. Both of them aren't true. How about we just gotta let them be? How about we just allow everything to be and trust this greater intelligence to do the work? Mm-hmm. And that for me has been easily the most, the smoothest way of moving about things. Mm-hmm. But the spiritual path is never smooth. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. So good. And I mean, when you're saying like the disruption, that sometimes it's like, I continue to just be amazed at, on my healing journey, I feel like my knees, they're healing. I'm healing them. They're healing. Like, I'm 38. I'm getting older. Like, they're healing. They're getting stronger. They're getting stronger right now. And I'm amazed, you know, and it's like, this back pain that I had or whatever since I was in high school, like my bulging disc and my low back pain, like it's lifting. It's lifting, you know, and I'm like, is this real? Like, is this real? Like, I didn't run for 8 years, like, because my knees were bad, you know, and it's like, I've been going through some disruptions, you know, over the last few years, some really challenging experiences, and it's been disrupting and also like just releasing all this junk energy that's in my cells, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I just find it like, I'm like, wow, this has been like two or three of the hardest years of my life, the last 2 or 3 years. And yet my knees are feeling healthier now. My low back's feeling healthier. I'm feeling more connected to the universe than I ever have. No, you know, like, and I'm like, wow, through all that, like, I needed that, those disruptions. I needed, like, that trauma, childhood trauma, still in my cells, you know, like, I needed to walk through it. I needed to address it. And it's like, so I'm just, as I'm hearing you talk, I'm like, ah, it's so beautiful. I'm just amazed to be like, well, talking with you right now, but just on this planet, like, I'm just amazed that we have this opportunity to, wow, we were sold some funky stuff growing up, you know, we were like whatever, we were injected, we were fed stuff that was just like, not so bueno, you know? And it's like, so it's an unlearning of a lot of that. And then real, you know, I have to share one other piece. Like last night, Saturday morning, I woke up insecure.
Yeah.
I immediately was like, I don't like this feeling. But we had watched a romantic comedy movie, you know, good old Hollywood. Watched that on Friday night. So Saturday morning, shocker, I woke up feeling a little anxious and insecure about me, Aaron, as a amazing husband and, you know, man for Sarah to spend her life with. You know, I was dealing, like, struggling and insecure. And I'm like, ugh. Like, my initial thing was, I need to run from this. This is, I am sick of feeling insecure. I'm sick of feeling insecure. I just want to be by myself. Like, I'm like, what, you know, this, I need to distance, whatever. I'm like making up my initial thoughts. And I'm like, wait, hold up a second. This is my childhood. This goes back to when I was 5. This goes back to like my insecurities in junior high and high school that I felt around women and, you know, other attractive men that I felt like inferior to. You know, they always seem to get the girl or whatever. You know, like, this actually isn't about, this is in myself. This is like, I'm letting go of this, these stories. Is so I don't need to run from it. I need to be like, okay. Oh yeah, that's a story I don't need to hold on to any longer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm safe. I'm safe and loved right now, you know? Like, I don't need to stay there anymore. I don't need to be in junior high anymore. Like, I don't need to keep going back there on Saturday morning or whatever, you know, and paying attention to the movie consumption, right? I mean, for me, like, paying attention to the movie. It's like, what am I watching that for? Like, that's feeding Sarah and me. What's it feeding us? It's feeding us, like, not reality. I don't know. Anyway, what do you got? Share what came to you there.
I want to hit that subject for a little bit about the romantic comedy. And my partner, restaurant partner at USADA, he's a Stangi yoga teacher from New York. Great guy, Scott. He reminded me yesterday, he goes, the diet is the 5 senses. And so it's not just what we put in our mouth, but it's everything. Okay. And so to come back to the feminine masculine polarity that has been distorted. Now, I'm not saying marriage is wrong. I think marriage is a beautiful thing. But when we look at institutional marriage, there's a lot we can question about the way it was used for land acquisition and ownership of women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ownership of the feminine. The same like land ownership. And personally, I believe in custodianhood, whether it comes to our partner or the land that we are given to grow food on or to be with or to build our house on, we are custodians to it. Mm. We are not an owner with rights, like my teacher, Dan Schreiber, says. I have not many teachers in life, but here's another name, Dan Schreiber. We are not owners with rights. We are custodians with responsibilities. Let that one sink in for like a little bit. In all our relations.
Say it again.
We are not owners with rights. We are custodians with responsibilities. And this goes to our partner, to our children, to the land, to life, to everything that comes in our place. And oftentimes is when we recognize that we have that power to affect people, it also comes with responsibility. Mm-hmm. And ownership, it can no longer be part of that. And so when we observe the patriarch in its old form, and we observe Walt Disney and all these romantic ideas. Yeah. The whole new world. I can show you the world, but only me. You know, it kind of subtly implies a lot of the time a distortion in our relationship with the feminine for us men and vice versa. And so I'll leave that for everyone else to figure out exactly what that means in their lives. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say to the little girls and the little boys inside of us, just reevaluate the dreams that you've been sold through romantic comedies that maybe temporarily make you feel safe, and trace them back to the original wound, which is the wound of your father who wasn't available or the mother who was overly controlling. and not to blame the parents, but to acknowledge them and to acknowledge their lineage, where they came from, and to acknowledge that we are the next in line to bring generational healing by rebalancing those polarities. And now we're entering in conscious relationship. You and Sarah are very much in a conscious relationship. It's not even hard to not see. It's easy to see. Yeah, it's like you are always bringing awareness and attention to your relationship. And in that, you do yourself a favor and you do the whole world a favor. You do all your ancestors a favor by clearing all of those patterns from them, and you do your future generations a favor, because the children that you and her give rise to, which is the future generation, whether you have your own children or not, doesn't matter, you become examples for the next as elders. They will observe you in your loving relationship, and you'll become that model. Instead of Walt Disney being the model, you say you need the prince on the white horse to show you the way, which disempowers the feminine, and it makes the feminine contracted and distrusting of man. And can you see how that's a toxic cycle? Because men who were distrusted became aggressive, literally became aggressive in their genitals, in their aggression, they became in their focus. They thought they have to conquer. In order to get what they want, they got to rape it and overshadow it. So those corporations that tear down rainforests, what if they're run by little boys? They're just looking for a mama, and they look for mama's approval. And so they thought, if we just make lots of money for the shareholders, and they don't understand the forest, so they tear it down and they plant palm oil because we understand that. You see, if those men heal, and if women can recognize their role in that, if women can recognize that they are so powerful that they can make little boys heal. And this is just run through like the different levels of women that I still observe in the world today. And that's not to say one is better than the other, just one is more evolved. And every woman is heading towards this. And I would say stage one is the bimbo archetype that says, oh my God, I'm nothing without a boyfriend. You know, is that helpless little girl that just goes from one boyfriend to the other. And the boyfriend tends to be very sort of dominating, and he calls all the shots, right? Is the distorted masculine. If you know, masculine is part of direction, and there's nothing wrong with a beautiful man just making decisions, but a woman can also play that role if she's in her masculine, whatever. Stage two is the classical feminism of the 80s in Europe anyway. What we've seen is where the women are like, I don't need a man. Because look, you know, we're not in some agricultural society where all the men own the land, and without men, there's no access to food. I'm good on my own. I can join the corporate world. I can do this. I can do that. And I say, you're absolutely right. You can do anything you want, woman. Yeah, but it leaves us at this sort of hard place where a lot of us men feel like, well, if you're not going to let us in, what's our purpose in life? Guess what? Suicide rate is highest amongst men. If the mother always has distrust of her son, the man will always hope to heal her. And so he goes around. This is where us sort of like healers come in. Sometimes we're just too eager to heal because we're just looking for that relief. Yeah. Or the serial daters, the women, the men who go from woman to woman to woman, because we're just looking for approval. And a beautiful woman rises to the next stage where she recognizes all of her trauma, where she recognizes that her and her mother and her mother and her mother for many generations have been harmed and raped and this and that and overshadowed. And just taking time to acknowledge that without going into story is something that we as men can never stop a woman from doing. She has to take as much time as she needs to do that. And we're just there and say, okay, darling, we're here for you. Go do that work. At some point she'll come around and she'll recognize that she reaches a part of her healing stage, her healing journey, where she can use a conscious man as a ping pong partner to bounce off. To show me, okay, so, you know, you're literally wanting to enter me, whether it's sexually or just emotionally. And right now, my heart is actually close to you. And it's very similar to when I encountered my first pieces of land that I've turned into food forest here in Bali. The land was literally closed and devoid of any worms or any life. And anything I tried to grow in there would die. And I had to learn to just sit with this land and listen. And just see what it needs. And that's the stage that where the man can come into this woman who is slowly opening up to say, okay, I don't need a man, but I want a man. And initially I want a man because I know he can help me heal. And eventually I want a man because I know he'll make me complete. Because on a physical level, I'm the feminine form and the masculine form. And if you're in a same-sex relationship, you'll still carry those polarities. So don't be distracted by what I say. But generally, man and woman, the woman literally expands in her breasts and inverts in her vagina. It's literally a representation of her magnetic and electro qualities. And the man is literally the opposite, right? And so when you take a man and a female body, energetically, the chakras are also, the heart chakra of the man is a receiving one, while the heart chakra of a woman is a giving one. So when a man and a woman in a hug together, they're literally exchanging this beautiful information, and they can often hug comfortably for a long time. Well, if two men hug, it's a meeting of power, poof, you know? And that's also beautiful, but it's usually a bit of a shorter hug. There's nothing wrong with that. Just flow of what is natural. If it's a long hug with a man, that's beautiful too, you know? There's no boundaries around this. But you understand that that is ultimately the stage three woman that we're looking for. That woman is gonna dress up sexy as anything, and she's gonna walk into a bar full of hungry men. I tell you, with her energy, she's not going to get harassed. Because the way she walks in, it's like, yeah, you can look at me. But she'll subconsciously communicate, like, I'm not afraid of you, and you won't mess with me. I'm not blaming women that for being harassed previously. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, let's embrace that. And let's see that women in their energy, once they're stepping into their power, they're not vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be sort of protected by society. When we do the healing as mm-hmm. humans, we can come into situations where we can beautifully coexist in safe spaces and own our sexual attractions and everything. And of course, now I'm speaking of women. The job for men is to become those stage three men that are aware of their aggression, of their energy. They are aware that when they're sitting next to an attractive woman, if their energy is sort of dragging them in and overshadowing them. And if men become in touch with their energy, they can take responsibility and become sort of safe without becoming overly soft. And see, this has been the problem with men. In order to be safe, they just closed off their sexuality. They closed off all of their manhood, and they basically became girls. Mm-hmm. And those girls were really fun to be around for other girls. And now we had a whole bunch of girls. And now women are complaining, I just need a real man. When they meet a real man, oh, he's too aggressive. You see?
Yeah.
It is such a dance of the genders and of the two energy polarities. Again, even within same-sex couples, we'll probably see this dance. And I believe if we are willing to do the dance, and this is called a conscious relationship, and we're using authentic relating. You're doing so beautifully with Sarah. Speaking your truth, speaking what's going on inside of you, not being afraid to meet the shadows. Eventually, we're going to work through this. We're going to get here as humans. And if we get our foundation right, between men and women, between the different genders, we become one strong mankind that get their relationship right with the Great Mother, which is the Great Mother Earth, guided by the Great Father, which is spirit that flows through us. And that's when we will live in harmony on Earth. Never before that. We never need strong rules and regulations from some government institution that's telling us what to do. If we do, we will always suppress the healing that wants to happen underneath. Our path to freedom and sovereignty as a mankind species is through our own personal healing. And so perfect time when you're sitting in your living room in quarantine, well, you may as well address that, because right. There's nothing to fix in the outer world anymore unless we fix our own inner world. With that, we create the world. Mm.
That's an amen. I was going to say, yeah, that's beautiful. So that's the work. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. That's where we continue to move into that awareness, that interconnection, that of just like, yeah. I don't know. As I hear you talk about that, that's what it comes up for me, is just like connection to all of it. Connection to all of it. You know, it's
all connection.
Like, wow. It's like, yes, yes, please. Yes, please. Yeah. Huh. So, Simon, I really appreciate you doing this interview with me. Yes, just, I want to hang out with you. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to have a Zoom hangout here in the next few weeks or whatever, but I know Sarah and I, we got to figure out something. We got to have a game. Yeah. Do you like to sing?
I do, man.
You like to dance.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Any form of expression. And we do a lot of that here in Bali as well. We have kirtans where we share all these songs, and they're all online now, of course, because, any expression, and I love it. Yeah, absolutely. And what I loved about today's interaction is like, I feel that you are like playing this masculine role. You're coming in with the intellect and you're pulling out the good questions. And I'm just kind of sitting here channeling this and this one work that we are co-creating, masculine and feminine, we're bringing it into the world. And I know people are going to watch this and benefit from this. And this is how this awakening is happening on earth. There's not one guy that we turn to like, he knows the way or she knows the way, but people are going to watch this and find their own inspiration and take it from there. And this is how awakening is spreading. And that's really the encouraging news for people to know, that they look in the news and they say, oh my God, this one president or this one elite is dominating us. So, yeah, but under the surface, you know that this mushroom network of consciousness is waking up, and Aaron is just beaming this one interview out into the ethers, and it will just take on a life on its own. But what if they shut down this video? It doesn't matter. Because what people gain from watching this or any video that inspires them, even if they'll shut down the video, the inspiration lives on in them and will just take on forms and forms and forms and forms. Yeah. And this is how reforestation happens on the planet. Again, I always bring it back to Mother Nature. You'll see like one seed becomes one tree, offers 1,000 fruits with each 1,000 seeds. That's 1,000,000 trees out of one, just like that. This is exponential growth. So our awakening is exponential. So if you're sitting in the living room today and you're thinking to yourself, I'm the only one that sees it. I'm the black sheep in my family. I said, well, yeah, you are, because you've chosen that. And you're going to bring your whole family to life because of you, you brave soul. And so, yes, it seems relatively still small and obscure, this awakening, but there is enormous exponential capacity that is being utilized in this awakening. And we are, by hanging out and bouncing off each other today, having a good time, we are being part of this. And I'm super grateful for you and all your honesty and your authenticity, your vulnerability, your questions. I'm thankful for your masculine strong mind that's analytical and like you're saying, you know, because it's now finding a role to play in the world today. And your mind is needed too. Your masculinity is needed too. It's not all about being, but the being just has to now start dictating again. It has to be honored before the man can go out there and do all their things, you know? It's a beautiful dance, Shiva and Shakti.
Mm. So good. Oh, I'm so grateful. So Simon, if people wanted to connect with you, they watch this and they're like,
Yeah.
I need more Simon in my life. What are some modes? Sure. Obviously, if they come to Bali, your cooking school. But if you don't mind just sharing a little bit about how people can connect with you, that'd be great.
So people can come see me at the school. Mm-hmm. www.newearthcooking.com. Maybe you can even title it or something. I don't know. People can come when they come to Bali and they don't need to see me directly, but they just want to see, taste my work. They can come to a restaurant called Zest Ubud, Z-E-S-T. It's a fully plant-based restaurant with a lot of events and music and all kinds of great free workshops. It's a beautiful setting in Ubud. And then there's a smaller cafe that is part of a yoga shala that's called Usada. Usada is basically the Balinese way of saying Ayurveda or medicine. And so this little cafe with the amazing yoga shala above it offers very medicinal food. All of the food is made entirely with local ingredients that are some of them I grow myself. Well, when I say I, it's our whole family, our whole soul tribe at the New Earth Cooking School, which I mentioned earlier, which is about an hour north, where we offer internships for people to really join us for a period of time, or a daily course as well. At the moment, of course, all of this is shut, but I trust that in the future, all of these businesses and expressions of our love are either going to thrive like they did, or they're going to shape into a whole new form, because I really feel that the world is transforming it. We don't know what Bali will look like after this whole event, but I'm positive that it will transform in the way that's going to benefit humanity even more. Mm-hmm. So that is the physical part. If you want to see me online, New Earth Cooking is my Facebook page. Initially, I started posting a lot of food forest videos there, cooking videos, nature-based videos. So there's a video library on the New Earth Cooking Facebook page with hundreds of videos of my travels to Africa and Asia, different foods, a lot of philosophy around how food, and this is a whole different interview. And maybe if you ever want to do this again, man, I want to hang too, but if you just want to talk, yeah. I have so much more on just food forestry and how we can grow our food and how we can actually regenerate ecosystems on the planet and make them beneficial to humans. Basically, the school is surrounded now by forests that is consisting of fruit trees and shrubs and pineapples and mangoes, you name it. And we're literally eating from that. So New Earth Cooking is my style of cooking that aims to regenerate the world through our food choices. And I've been doing weekly talks on this for the last, 6 years since you met me. The New Earth Cooking Instagram account is there as well. And I had to put some things on my story, so you can follow that if you want. And then the New Earth Cooking School has their own Instagram account, which is called new.earth.school. And the team, the full Indonesian team of healers, lovers that manage the school, is fully community owned. A wonderful team, mainly Anga and Made and Iwan and a whole bunch of more light workers there. They manage his Instagram account. So it's really fun and light to watch what they do. And I think, did I miss something? I think that's those are great ways to connect. And if there's anything that you can think of watching this, how I can support you, you can ask to contact me or maybe shoot me a message through Aaron or through my Instagram page, and I will see where I can meet you. I'm in full purpose to the earth today. I'm not concerned by anything else but sharing the message that's coming through me from the mother. And by the way, I mentioned USADA and Zest. You can look up their Facebook pages. Today, we're streaming live events from USADA, some incredible yoga teachers and wisdom keepers. And tomorrow, we're doing a special live stream from Zest. So if you want more of me, I'll be doing one tomorrow. Again, go to Zest Ubud Facebook page and look at the events, and you'll see my event advertised there. If people see this right now. Okay, that's it.
So good, brother. So good.
So good.
Yeah. I appreciate you. Those of you who joined us live, super, super grateful to have, live. Those of you who have watched this on YouTube or listened through the podcast, really grateful to have you hop on and learn with us, grow with us, and expand with us. Simon, what a gift. I really am grateful I've met you and excited to see, just excited to continue to know you, to continue to like expand with you and heal alongside you and learn from you. I feel really grateful to call you a mentor, a brother, and a guide. So thank you.
Likewise. Yeah. All of those beautiful words, likewise. I'm really grateful for you taking this time, and you're really stepping up, and you've always really stepped up. You know, I've pretty much clicked love probably on all of your Facebook posts that come by my newsfeed, because I really appreciate you for, like I said, for your vulnerability and your dedication to life. So we're co-creating, and I'm wildly excited about the time to come for all of us humans and for you and I. So anytime you want to collaborate with me in any way, just, man, hit me up and I'm here.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, brother. All right. Take care. See you.
Take care, man.